Welcome to Ghana Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, Pastor of Harbor Bible Church, Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This is the new year, and as is my usual procedure, I begin the year with a message about biblical prophecy. Here's an article from The Economist, 10 Trends to Watch in the Coming Year. Number one, the rivalry between communism and democracy, China versus America. Number two, pandemics. Number three, inflation. Number four, changes in the labor market, new ways to work from home. Number five, the growing influence and the regulations of the tech giants, cyber surveillance. Number six, cryptocurrency, traditional currencies all going digital, even eventually the American dollar. And number seven, climate troubles. This article states that there has been an increase in floods, hurricanes, and wildfires, which has been thoroughly debunked as an internet myth. There are no more climate disasters today than there were 50 years ago. Yet we still hear even prophetic preachers who are saying that the weather has gotten worse. And that's a sign of the end. And I'm grieved every time I hear Christians repeating internet hoaxes as fact. But the fact that this prognosticator puts this prediction in his article just shows how much he is influenced by these climate alarmists. So, at the very least, expect that in the coming year, climate alarmism will continue to push its fears. Number eight in this article, travel troubles. People are not traveling because of COVID fears. Number nine, space travel for the rich. Number 10, something about sports and the Winter Olympics being in Beijing. So, interestingly, there was nothing in this list about problems at the border, the opium epidemic in America, the inflated stock market, China's threat to invading Taiwan, Russia's threat to invade the Ukraine, the failing health of Biden, and the upcoming 2022 midterm elections. I find that when writers and social leaders predict the future, it's usually not telling us what will happen, but it's telling us what they want to see happen. Wishful thinking is so powerful that people imagine their wishes are the future. And it's fascinating that the Bible tells us that at the end of this age, all the prognosticators are going to get it wrong. In the days leading up to the worldwide apocalypse, the disaster, the world will be saying peace and safety. But then destruction will come suddenly. Nobody will have suspected it. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Which again shows that man's predictions are usually based on wishful thinking and hubris. I mean, has Dr. Fauci and the medical establishment gotten anything right in their COVID-19 forecasts? Well, that's a whole nother story. People always want to know the future, but everything we need to know about the future is contained in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In the Word, we have everything we need to know that pertains to life and godliness. In John 16, 13, Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth and show them things to come. And so we have the prophetic New Testament books of 2 Thessalonians and 2 Peter and Revelation. Those New Testament prophecies are sufficient. Now, as you know, I'm not really big on word of faith prophecy because I don't even see why there's a need to know who the next president's going to be or when will be the next economic downturn or upturn or when will there be the next pandemic. And I don't believe, like some in charismatic circles teach, that Christians are to predict the future as a way to convince the unsaved that God is real and the Bible's true. The latest predictions I've heard is that there's going to be a red wave in the midterm elections. Trump will win a seat in the House of Representatives and become Speaker of the House. Then the House will then impeach Biden and Harris. And Donald Trump, being the Speaker of the House, would then become president. Again, that's wishful thinking being superimposed upon the future. A lot of times people think their aspirations are the voice of the Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 13, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. So here's my prophecy for 2022. Acts chapter 20, verse 23. The Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. That's it. The future will be more bonds and afflictions for Paul, and this is the word of God to us through the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, our example. As the apostle to the Gentiles, his life experience modeled the life of every New Testament Christian. So let's look at this text. Paul is finishing his third missionary journey, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. He wants to be in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost because he knows that at Pentecost, Jews from all over the region will be in Jerusalem, and it will be a great opportunity for evangelism. Paul was led by the Spirit, but the Spirit guides us through our own practical wisdom. Acts chapter 20, verse 16, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem if possible on the day of Pentecost. So, rather than stopping in Ephesus, Paul stops in the port of Miletus, and he calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus to meet him there. Acts 20:18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, and here we have Paul's message to the Ephesus elders, which contains some great principles for Christian living and Christian ministry. Paul models what it means to be faithful in the service of Christ despite hardships. He tells the elders, Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul goes on to tell the elders what God has for him in the future. Acts 20:22, and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. Being bound in the Spirit means that the Spirit of God had laid the burden on Paul's heart to go to Jerusalem. Remember in Romans chapter 10, Paul shared his burden to see his own people, the Jews, saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But then notice what Paul says. I do not know what will happen to me there. So here's the great apostle Paul, a man of great faith, a man who walked with God, a man who wrote most of the New Testament, and yet he doesn't know specifically what the future holds. Paul doesn't say that God had told him there would be a revival in Jerusalem, and that God would raise up thousands of Jews to evangelize the world. The Word of Faith movement would have us believe that that is the kind of faith Christians need to exercise, to name it and claim it. But that's not what the Apostle Paul experienced or taught. Paul had no idea what results there would be in Jerusalem, because God knows that his people don't need that information. All we need to know is to obey the Great Commission, to evangelize, and leave the results up to God. But then Paul says that even though he doesn't know the specifics, he does know the general will of God, that wherever he goes, bonds and afflictions will be coming. And this is the general prophetic word that Christ gave to all Christians. John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, if they have called the head of the household Beelzebub, what will they call his servants? John 15:19, If you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you. John 3:20, everyone who does evil hates the light. John 16, they will make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father or me. So if you want a prophetic word from God about the future, there it is. Bonds and afflictions await. And Paul, in his ministry, would share with the churches that general will of God. In Acts chapter 14, Paul goes back to all of the churches, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Remember Paul's word to the Philippian church, chapter 1, verse 29. It's given to us on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Notice that Paul doesn't prophesy that the emperor Claudius will be replaced by a man named Nero, who would then reign for 14 years. Paul doesn't prophesy that this man Nero will bring about a great persecution on the church. And Paul doesn't even prophesy that Jerusalem will fall to the Romans in just a few years, in AD 70. And if God doesn't do anything unless he reveals it to his prophets, you would think God would have told Paul about that. But no, there is no need to know those details. All that we need to know is to be prepared for tribulation. That's the New Testament message. Here's another text. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the future. And he says in chapter 4, do not lose heart. Our outward man will decay, but our inward man will be renewed. And stop looking at what is seen and what is temporal, but instead look at what is not seen and what is eternal. Then he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We know that verse, but the context is quite interesting. Paul is saying we live every day by faith. We don't need to know the specifics. Now back to Acts chapter 20, Paul's message to the elders, bonds and afflictions await me. I heard one Christian speaker once say that as a Christian, you are either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready for the next trial. People think COVID-19 has been a great burden, and they can't wait for it to be over. But let me assure you, the next crisis coming upon America will make COVID-19 look like a walk in the park, and you'll long for those days when the only crisis was COVID-19. God's word to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with the horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? Pastor who mentored me in my youth used to say, cheer up, it's only going to get worse. At that time, I didn't know what he meant, but now I know. The Christian life is all about going from one trial into the next trial. Now, that may sound horrible, but by faith, we have victory over each battle that arises. Paul says that bonds and afflictions await him, but then he says, none of these things move me, nor do I consider my life of any account as dear to myself. That reminds me of Psalm 62:6. God is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now, there are some translation issues between the King James Version and modern versions. The King James Version adds the phrase, none of these things move me, because the translators interpreted Paul's sentence as being two statements. But nevertheless, the point Paul is making is this. It's not necessary to know the specifics of the future. What is necessary is a determination to endure whatever comes our way, and the determination to finish the mission God has given to us, to fulfill the Great Commission. And we should not be all concerned about our future comforts, our safety, our well-being. Our main concern should be doing the work God has called us to do. In fact, we should see ourselves as expendable. And we should put the gospel mission before our well-being. Again, Paul writes, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. So the lesson here is we should never determine the will of God by looking for the path of least resistance. In fact, that which is the will of God will bring the most resistance. So be prepared for it. And if there's opposition, it's a good sign that you are right in the center of God's will. Any dead fish can go with the flow. It takes great energy and struggle to swim against the tide. William Bradford wrote about the pilgrims and their hard endeavor. Quote, all great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulties and must be enterprised and overcome with courage. Simpler said, anything worthwhile is going to be hard. And the most worthwhile thing in this world is serving Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, there's another great spiritual lesson in this text, in that once the Christians knew that Paul would suffer persecution, they tried to persuade him not to go to Jerusalem. Maybe like many Christians, they were assuming the will of God is to take the safest, most comfortable path. So after leaving Miletus, Paul sails to Caesarea, just north of Israel on the Mediterranean coast. And while Paul was in the house of Philip the Evangelist, a prophet from Jerusalem shows up. His name was Agabus. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and his hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. I've always seen Agabus as being a prophet who had an amazing grasp of the obvious, like prophesying to Eskimos that it's going to snow in the winter. Paul already knew that bonds awaited him, and of course Paul was going to be arrested in Jerusalem. Anyone who knew the political and religious situation in Jerusalem knew how the Jews would react to Paul. But what's remarkable is that after hearing the words of Agabus, verse 12, the Christians tried to dissuade Paul from going to Jerusalem. Quote, when we heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging him not to go to Jerusalem. And even among commentators today, there is disagreement over whether Paul was in the will of God going to Jerusalem. Because how could it be the will of God for Paul to go to Jerusalem if the Spirit of God foretold suffering and imprisonment? Well, how could Christ come to earth knowing that it meant the cross? And how could Nate Saint and Jim Elliot and Ed McCulley and Peter Fleming and Roger Udarian go to the Auca tribe in Ecuador knowing that they were putting their lives in jeopardy? Well, because there is something more important than our future comfort and safety. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 again. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I might finish my course in the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. To speak the gospel, to have the opportunity to speak the gospel, is more important than comfort. And did not Jesus instruct us, John chapter 12, verse 25, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. And he told his disciples in John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I might finish my course and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus. I remember the head of the English department of the Bible college I was attending shared in his testimony that Acts chapter 20, verse 24 was his life verse. He was born in Germany. enlisted to be part of the Nazi youth. He was captured at the end of World War II, paraded through France as a prisoner of war, put in prison. He was in poverty, but there he came to know Christ. And he resolved that he would no longer consider his life dear to himself, for he was now no longer enlisted in Hitler's army, in the army of this world, but he was enlisted in the army of Christ. And as Paul told Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul's resolve there in Acts chapter 20 is an example for every Christian. We must remember that as Christians, we must put Christ first before our own goals, our plans, our aspirations, our desires. Paul said it another way in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he, Christ, died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You know, it's one thing to read that in the Bible. It's a whole other thing when you have to make the decision to sacrifice a career, a hobby, a possession, a loved one for the sake of doing the ministry we've received from Christ. And don't forget, Luke chapter 9, if you lose your life, you're going to actually find your life. In losing your life, you will find greater purpose, reward, and blessing, and you will then find true freedom. So have you made the decision to give your life to Christ? That's just not a secondary decision for the Christian. That is the essence of the decision to be a Christian, to confess Jesus as Lord. So Paul tells the Christians who are trying to dissuade him, Acts 21:13, then Paul answered, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. So here's the lesson in today's program about 2022 prophecy. I'm not foretelling anything specific about coming events in 2022, but I'm just saying be assured of the general will of God, that bonds and afflictions await, and through many tribulations we will enter the kingdom of God. What we need now is not knowledge of the future, but a resolve to serve Christ no matter what, to never quit, to stay on the front lines, fighting the good fight of faith until Christ returns. Not letting anything move us away from the mission. We need to determine in advance. We will not be disturbed by financial troubles, by physical ailments, by trouble from people around us, by troubles from the world. And this is the whole point of Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sakes we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this message again or other past messages is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. But this week, since I'm traveling, there will be no YouTube. But I trust that throughout 2022, the Lord will continue to help me put out those weekly videos. I mean, after all, Acts chapter 20, I have to finish my course and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray the same for you. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the strength and resolve to keep on keeping on. And we find assurance that the power to do that comes from you. For you have begun a good work in us, and you will complete it until the day of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.